Okay, I'll call the meeting of the Legislative Committee to order. Emily, if you want to do attendance roll.
Sure. Boyd Frederick.
Here.
David Hallman.
Present.
Andy Berg.
Here.
Aaron Decker, not here. John Franco.
Here.
John Poole.
Here.
Michael Skalitsky, is not here. For Youth and Governance, Isabella Ricker.
Here.
And Aubriana Madke.
Here, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll now do citizen comments. We're going to ask everyone to keep them to about 3 minutes. So whoever would like to get started and then...
If you could please sign the form and put your address, please.
My name is Jody Muirhoff, and I'm coming here to speak in favor of the resolution that Leah Blau is introducing tonight about fair voting maps. And I did come and speak the last time a similar resolution was introduced. And to me, this is a two-point... I'm interested in this for two different reasons. The first is fairness. Voting maps in Wisconsin should be drawn so that everybody's vote counts. And I know you're probably going to talk about fracking and cracking. And the way our maps stand now, people don't have a chance to have their votes counted in Wisconsin. In fact, Time magazine said Wisconsin's no longer a democracy because of the way our voting lines are drawn. I know this is a nonpartisan board, but if they were drawn a different way, you'd probably have a different group of people in here saying that this isn't fair. So really what voting maps in Wisconsin should be done is drawn fairly so that everybody's votes should count. My other concern is this has been a use of taxpayer money that I don't agree with. You know, I work hard for, my husband and I work hard for the money that we have to pay our taxes, and I don't want to see this money being spent on lawsuits. I want Wisconsin to be a place where the voting maps are drawn fairly like they are in Iowa, and I don't want any more of my money being spent on lawsuits. 19 other counties that I'm aware of have passed similar resolutions to this, so I'm hoping that this committee will carefully consider it and pass it on to the full board for their consideration. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Serena Miller, and I live in Kenosha.
If you want to take a seat, please.
I live in Kenosha. Not originally from here, but have lived here for the last 20 years. My husband's retired Air Force, and I think the voting is extremely important. I think the gerrymandering is cheating, and I believe that if we, in this environment, this political environment that we have right now, there are a lot of things that are going on. Voter suppression. You know, when I first got here, I voted and I walked up to my district and they asked me what my name was and I told them and I signed in and I voted. And I've been doing that ever since I moved here in 1980. Last time I voted, I had to show an ID. Luckily, I had one. But there's a lot of things going on here. I don't know how things have been redistricted here, but I don't think that we should be dealing with a system that disadvantages other folks. That's all I have to say.
From now on, if you, when you speak, if you could also give us your address as well.
Could you put your name and address on the sheet, please? Thank you.
6328 95th Avenue, Kenosha.
My name is Pat Klein. My husband Larry Klein is back there. He's a disabled veteran. We moved to Kenosha 5 years ago. Because of some political situations recently, we've become more active in following what's going on with our government. And I think that that's a good thing, and more citizens could be encouraged to do so. We live at 616 79th Street near the water treatment plant. I have been following some of the redistricting information that's been printed in the Milwaukee paper. I'm especially upset about the Republicans in the state legislature saying and doing, writing blank checks to law firms, which I assume that they're using our money for, in order to carry this to the Supreme Court. I don't know how the districts are done in Iowa, but I would think that it should not be necessarily the party that wins the majority who gets to draw the maps. You know, just draw the map and leave it the heck alone so that people know what they're doing and that the district should be drawn fairly and not in favor of any one party or another. Just have the districts be what the districts are. You know, some people may even be confused about where they're supposed to go and vote. So that's my story and I'm sticking with it. Thank you.
My name is Esther Ankahas. I live at 923 Wood Road in Kenosha and Summers. Sorry, I can't talk and write at the same time. I'm just here in support, in favor of the resolution and everything everybody's already said. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rob Schmel, 4808 25th Avenue. I've been in Kenosha for about 11 years. We're from Chicago, and I'm in favor of a gerrymandering resolution, just like the previous lady said. Just come make it short and sweet. Thank you.
Terrence Worthen, 7832 14th Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I've lived in Kenosha for about 15 years. One of the reasons I feel like this committee should pass this on to the board is that the last time this topic came up, I think one of the comments was that it was irrelevant for the county board to address this matter because you had no authority to change or to fix the problem. And I think that highlights the problem. You have constituents that feel like their federal government is inept, state government isn't listening, and it's going to fall on local and city officials to be our voice in government, as opposed to reminding us of the things we can't do. So instead of telling us why it doesn't matter, why your voices don't matter, think about how that feels to your constituents. When the county board, or aldermen, or our mayor say it doesn't matter what we have to say either. I mean, that's just another layer of apathy that's being applied to your constituents. So I want you to think of it in that way. If it doesn't matter to you, if you feel like your voices don't matter, what hope do the normal citizens of this city have when our elected officials feel that powerless? It's about representing us and representing this democracy. And while you might not be able to change the law, you can certainly be our voice in this city and in this state. Thank you very much.
Karen Kempton, 2223 23rd Avenue, Kenosha. As I just said, I live on the north side and I'm a chief inspector at the polling place down the block from my house. And many of the people that come to vote there are Italian immigrants. And I'm so moved by their patriotism. There are elderly people that come in with their oxygen tanks, with their walkers, with their canes, and they know that they could vote absentee, but they don't because it's such a precious right to vote, and the day of election is such a sacred day to them that they come in person every election like that, and I'm very moved by that. So I would hope that you will support the resolution to maintain the kind of democracy that my immigrant neighbors believe in.
Anyone else? Okay, citizen comments are closed. Chairperson comments. First comment is, for those of us, there's an email sent out this afternoon about the governor coming down and talking to individuals about what's going on with the flooding. It will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Kenosha County Center. That affects more of the West End supervisors than the East End. Also, there is a document I will be passing around. This deals with the press conference that Senator Fitzgerald held this morning, dealing with the new proposal, because the budget's basically, as one person told me, stuck in traffic. This is their proposal when it comes to funding transportation. So here's some articles. And also there are two letters, well, I should say letters, but one is the testimony from the county executive on dark stores. Another one is a letter from George Stoner, who is the chairperson of Summers, talking about how it affects Summers because they have the Super Walmart in their area. I've asked also Mr. Steinbrink to give me one because Pleasant Prairie has many of them just off Highway 50. So, any supervisor comments?
Can you email these to us? Because I don't want to sit here and read them. Is that
sure.
Possible?
She,
yes,
I'll
forward you the link.
Okay, just because I don't want to sit here and pay attention. Thank you.
Supervisor comments. Any supervisor have any comments?
If anyone came in late, I just wanted to introduce her to students here. This is Isabella Bricker and Aubrey Madke. This Welcome. Is the legislative committee. Well, do you know everyone's name? Should I quiz you already? Or?
No. Think I know a couple.
Maybe. This is Supervisor Skolitsky, Poole, Berg, Allman, Frederick, Decker, and I'm Franco. So
now repeat that.
In opposite order.
And this is Emily Bruno, Ms. Emily Bruno from the Corp Council, and Mr. Joe Cardamone sitting over there, Corporation Council. I think I got everyone. Okay.
Anyone else? No communications from me. Is there any to you, Emily?
No.
Okay. Approval of the May 16th minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes of May 16, 2017.
Second.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. There is no discussion with the legislator. Between one becoming a grandfather probably this week, another one losing staff, it was a very difficult week to get anybody in. So, and also other ones are dealing with everything with all the flooding. So, I will go to the resolution to protect homeowners from dark store assessing practices. It was proposed by Gilmore and Wambold, and I know Supervisor Gilmore will not be in attendance this evening, so for the whole meeting. So, if anyone has comments on it right now, or
they're not here, but I know that this is somewhat time sensitive as the state works on the budget. So I think we've seen and heard enough. I might be comfortable just moving it forward.
Okay, is that make that a motion or
second?
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of the dark storage resolution, start by saying aye.
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 I know. As soon as it was coming out, I realized it.
Cannot forget them.
Well, I've got to go. All opposed? Youth and governance? How do you plead?
Aye.
Not plead. Vote.
I know.
Across the street.
Is it innocent or guilty?
I was watching her face. Something. She looks so nervous. I'm like, both aye? Or?
Yeah. Yes.
Loud and proud. Remember.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry. She just looks so nervous. Okay. Now I'll go on to the next resolution, the redistricting. Supervisor Blau.
Thank you, Legislative Committee. Thank you for having me here. I am reintroducing this resolution. And while I know the last time we had this, it's correct that, you know, a lot of people were opposed to this because we are a nonpartisan board. So the current voter maps that we have been determined by the Wisconsin Western Courts to be unconstitutional due to partisan gerrymandering, and this must change. Therefore, it's important that we support the court's decision to have new maps drawn and that this must be done by a neutral entity. We need to guarantee to our constituents that their votes matter. Over $2 million, I've just learned from Sachin Chetta of the Fair Voters Organization, $2.5 million of taxpayer money has already been spent trying to defend these illegal maps, and that number is rising. I had heard over the weekend from Bob Wirch that it could be like rising up towards $10 million, you know, to keep, you know, working on this appeal. The U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing the Gill versus Whitford case, and their decision would determine whether our state voter maps are constitutional or not, and their decision would create a standard to measure this by for future use. However, that decision would have nothing to do with the process by which the state of Wisconsin chooses to draw its maps now and in the future. If this process isn't changed before the new maps are drawn based on the 2020 census, the state legislature, no matter what party controls it, will likely rig our elections again for the next 10 years. As representatives elected by the people of Kenosha County, we have a duty to ensure that every candidate has a chance to play on an even playing field and that every person has an equal say in our democracy, no matter what political party you belong to. By supporting this Fair Maps resolution, you are saying that Kenosha County cares about fair elections, cares about its constituents, and that you will stand with actually 21 counties and counting from around the state, from rural Lincoln County to counties with cities like Eau Claire and Milwaukee. Thank you.
Who would like to start discussion of this? Supervisor Poole?
Move to table as the Supreme Court has already made a decision to take this case up.
Second.
Okay. Discussion of tabling this. Supervisor Allen?
So, I'm not against tabling. There's actually something in here that I'd like to see that might be useful. Since it is going to the Supreme Court, you know, they do have friend of the court briefs where you can help advise and guide what the outcome might be. One of the things that I see is missing from this resolution that it might actually be nice to have is a way to do that. I heard Iowa mentioned earlier tonight. I'm surprised that there isn't some sort of mechanism built into this. I know there's some folks around the table that feel that this is partisan. I'll just be real. It doesn't matter what political party you're a member of. If you're only going to take certain people in the room and show them certain pieces and they can't see what the rest of the caucus is doing and going on, that's just shady. It doesn't matter who you are. I'm a little uncomfortable with the wording where it talks about, you know, supporting the resolution supporting the ruling invalidating. I have a lot of respect for the courts, Mr. Chairman. Whether they say something I like or something I don't like, I still have to abide by it. So I'll be honest, in terms of title, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. But other than the 2 points I brought forward, I think to see that in there would be very interesting, a mechanism to say, this is perhaps how we should do this and move forward. There's enough people in the room that have expressed interest. It might be interesting to see something in there or an attachment to this as a best practices to help inform the court's decision. That would be very interesting, nationwide. I think that's all I have to say about this.
I guess I the move to table, I'm glad that it went to the Supreme Court because we'll hopefully finally get a ruling on this. The Supreme Court over the years has pretty much punted on the issue of partisan gerrymandering. I know there's another case similar to this out east somewhere, I can't remember which state, somewhere around like Maine or something, I'm not sure exactly which state, which the roles are reversed, where the Democratic Party are being blamed for gerrymandering the same way as the Wisconsin is. So I personally want it to go before the Supreme Court so we can actually get a final ruling on what should be done and how much is too much and how little is too little. That's just my opinion. So I'm fine with tabling it based on the fact that it has gone to the Supreme Court and I would like to get a ruling on it.
I'd like to see this thing pass, frankly. I think it's asking a little much for a criteria or a mechanism by which the court is going to somehow, like the Iowa, bipartisan commission. That might be asking a lot from this resolution. The point of the resolution, I believe, as I understand it, is simply to send a message to the state and ultimately to the Supreme Court, now that it's taken it up, that gerrymandering is undemocratic, and frankly, if Kennedy's the swing vote, he'd been looking for criteria, it very well might be deemed unconstitutional and apply to all states. But I don't see why we need to fine-tune this to such a degree that we can't vote on this now.
If we table it until the Supreme Court decision is made, it's really irrelevant at that point. The Supreme Court made their judgment. So I'm not going to support the tabling because I'm going to follow suit with Supervisor Franco and the fact that if there's continued support for the non-gerrymandering bill, then hopefully that could sway the Supreme Court decision. So I want to be supporting.
Just to give a little bit of history, because I've been watching how people have been redistricting in the state since 1990 and 2000, because it was a split. Republicans had one house, Democrats had another. Is they both had submitted maps, and it ended up being decided by the courts. So that's how we got those maps. For the first time in a long time, both parties held both houses after 2010, where it was the Republicans, where they did the maps in the state as they are. To me, this is, if we were to pass this tonight, then it would be included in the Supreme Court case how many counties are looking at this. Mm-hmm. So we would be actually part of the Supreme Court's, what's handed to them to make the decision. And we would be joining the other 21 counties that have already passed very similar resolutions.
Well, there's one other thing too. I mean, in the next 3 months, you might have who knows how many more counties joining in too. So there's still time. In terms of accepting.
The Supreme Court does not start till the first Monday of October.
Right. I understand that. They're out of session now. I understand that.
I agree with your sentiments, Mr. Chairman. That's why I suggested it might be nice to see some mechanism as to how to do this. I don't think that's being unreasonable. Typically, when there are things that go to the Supreme Court and they know the court's taking up the case and the court's going to look at it, those items are included to help give those justices some guidance. If we're the ones with the problem and we want it fixed, I see no reason why we shouldn't give some guidance as to the rules as to how to do so.
If you want to just put in there a mechanism, would you consider that to be friendly?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it would look like, but I'm sure, Corp Counsel could pull some of the different styles that people are doing this around the nation and focus.
May I just suggest one thing? The Supreme Court is looking at the constitutionality of gerrymandering. It's not looking for the solution to how to do it, because that's really up to the states. Yeah. And so I think we might be conflating a couple issues. The court is just looking at, in particular, the Wisconsin law, whether gerrymandering is constitutional in the way it was framed in 2010. It's not looking at anything else. if they deem it unconstitutional, then it's up to the states to determine how they're going to come up with a bipartisan commission or whatever, some other what means of drawing districts in the every 10 years. I think that might be, I think it's asking a lot, but.
Yeah, that's correct, because based on the research and talking to people who have been working on this case, that's exactly right. You know, even if the Supreme Court does, they're only determining constitutionality. They're not asking people, mechanisms to draw maps. That's what they're deciding on. So waiting for a decision on whether or not they're going to determine this constitutional or not, that has nothing to do with what's happening here in Wisconsin.
Supervisor Howell?
I would argue to my two county colleagues, never assume you know what the court is looking at. There's a number of Supreme Court case law where, one entity went in trying to argue one point of constitutional law, and the judges come back and say, no, you're wrong on that one, but under this one, we agree. So you really never do know exactly what they're looking at. And they don't overtly ask for solutions as to how to solve the problem, but people do submit those, and you do find those that pop up sometimes in the judicial opinions, whether it's in the majority view or whether it's in the dissenting view. And it's interesting the things that judges will actually cite. I'm thinking of Sonia Sotomayor's dissent in Utah v. Strife, where she actually pulls from, I think it was James Baldwin, who has nothing to do with the field of law. He's a literary writer, but she pulls and references him, as well as a number of other folks. So never assume you know what the court is looking at.
On the motion of tabling, is there any further in discussion?
Just remember the eggs first.
You're out of, Supervisor Poole, you are out of order. Okay. What we'll do is do a roll call, starting with the Youth and Governance.
Isabella Ricker.
Can you explain what she's voting?
Why don't you explain as to table the resolution dealing with the redistricting. That basically this is going to just sit there.
Yeah, not be voted on now in committee. Okay. So it's not going to be voted on yay or nay if it's tabled.
So
at this point in time. At this point.
Okay. So nay.
Aubriana
Minati? I'm going to say nay too.
Supervisors David Hallman?
Nay.
Andy Berg?
Nay.
Aaron Decker?
That's at the table. Get your mark. Okay. yes.
John Franco?
Nay.
John Poole?
Yes.
Michael Skalitsky?
Yes.
Boyd Frederick?
No.
4-3.
Okay. We're back on the resolution. Any comments on the resolution?
Well, this was already brought before the executive committee and voted down for a variety of reasons that have been restated, and so I don't need to. The maps were redrawn per constitutional requirement. The rules have not changed. They've been this way for decades, but then the Democratic Party can't figure out a way to win any elections because they're out of ideas and policies that constituents want to vote for. So they hit the courts. They shop around the idea that there's gerrymandering. They find sympathetic judges. And when they find them, then they say, okay, now we stop the legal process because we found the ruling that we're looking for. And not allowing the legal process to work through the appeal process, we should just stop and just say, okay, now things are right. Clearly it's gerrymandering because a couple of appeals judges said so. But yet, we don't allow it to go to the highest court in the land who has agreed to see it and make a judgment based on constitutionality of the way that the districts are put together. So that's why I'm not going to support this resolution, because it hasn't allowed a process that was started by the opposition to work its way through it. And then the idea that we're wasting taxpayers' money, I don't even want to go there. There are so many things that government wastes taxpayers' money on. This is a drop in the ocean. I feel that it should be heard, it should be argued, and it should be ruled on. And then at that time, if it's deemed that there has been unfair districting created, the corrections will be made. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else?
I just might add that it is going through the process. Supreme Court picked it up, and a decision will be rendered.
Right. It's called writ of habeas corpus, is it not? The one they say it when they'll hear it?
Cert.
Cert, okay. Thank you. This is why I didn't go into law.
Habeas corpus is where's the body?
Any other comments?
Well, I guess reading the first, now therefore be it resolved, the last portion says that basically that the County Board of Supervisors opposes any further appeal of the same. So supporting this this resolution says that you don't want it to go to the Supreme Court, that you don't want to hear the final say at the Supreme Court. You're good with the, I believe it was the Court of Appeals, correct?
Right.
Court of Appeals, that you're good with that, and you don't think that the Supreme Court should have the final say, that you're okay with parts, specific parties, like Supervisor Sklitsky said, taking it to the courts till you win, and then wanting it to stop and not get the final say from the Supreme Court. So that's what this resolution says. And also, as someone that sat on the redistricting committee for the county board in 2011 after the census, I just want to throw out there that it says right here that we don't want incumbents' residence information used when we draw maps. That means that's fine if we redistrict, you know, three people together that are incumbents. We're not going to look at that. Right now, currently, on the county board level and all the other levels, they look to see where the incumbents live and try not to clump them together. This is saying we don't want that to be looked at. So, you know, it's okay if on the county board level we group out some of the incumbents that live close together into one district if we want to have them all run against each other to run for re-election. I just want to point that out because that is one issue, one thing that we did take up, you know, one thing that is looked at them on the maps, and we looked at them on the county board level. We also obviously, I mean, that's not constitutional, but constitutional is one man, one vote, like communities, and that you're not dividing based on, you know, dividing areas based on race, so you split their vote. So those are the things that are looked at, but we do look at incumbents where they live, and this is saying we don't care about that. I just want to point that out. So that's it. Thank you.
Supervisor Blau, any comment on that? Or
I don't think that's what it's saying. You know, my interpretation, the Western courts, first of all, the Supreme Court is just determining constitutionality of voter maps. They are not talking about any kind of procedural, you know, anything procedural that they want you to do, you know, as far as drawing the maps. I'm not sure how in the resolution you're interpreting that we don't want incumbents to be clumped together or not clumped together. I really don't understand that, but I'm not sure, you know, what they...
The resolution states that the County Board of Supervisors calls for the process of drawing new maps to promote more accountability and transparency, and that it prohibit the consideration of voting patterns, party information, and incumbents' resident information or demographic information in drawing the maps. It's worded right there. Except as necessary to ensure minority participation, which that's in the Constitution, as required by the U.S. Constitution. It says it right there. It says nothing about the Supreme Court. This is saying what we as county board supervisors call for. And we're saying we want to prohibit that.
I think that's up for interpretation.
Okay.
No, because I didn't read it that way.
Okay. Any other comments right now?
We call it a drop in a bucket for a couple million dollars. I can surely use that with my nonprofit. But we don't even have a budget right now. We are pushing that. We can't pay for the roads right now. They're finding ways how to pay for the roads. I don't know, $2-3 million might help a little bit. I'm supporting this because of the fact that we're spending unnecessary money. We just drew them differently. I'm in favor of north, south, east, west, and just expand the box a little bit to make it so that it's population driven, like it should be. That's fair down the line. But when we have swishes here and swishes there, I mean, I don't agree with that. But to call $2-3 million, yeah, sure, I guess it's a drop in a bucket overall when you look at it. But I mean, do we not start collecting the drops and make a cup, make a full cup out of it? Or do we just let each drop fall and, well, just a couple million dollars? So to me, a couple million dollars added up here and added up there and added up here and added up there is going to make a significant impact. And if we can voice our opinion on it, then I think that's a good opinion to voice.
Supervisor Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Decker raises an interesting point with that first to be it further resolved. It's interesting to see that wording, but yet the problem that we have is process, which is probably why I suggested what I suggested earlier about best practices in terms of advising the court on how to move. Would you be friendly, Supervisor Blau, to amending portions of this? I say that to my colleague across the table, Supervisor Decker, who maybe might have some ideas about how to strike and improve some of this.
Well, what are your thoughts on, what are you speaking of? Because there's the, you know, the first and the second for the result are completely different topics.
I'm looking at the be it further resolved
portion. So the second.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard you. I agree. I can see how that perspective, yeah. How do we make this work, I guess, is my question.
Would you want part of it to be deleted?
That's what I'm thinking.
What part would you want?
I'm trying to defer to the wisdom of Supervisor Decker, Mr. Chairman, to see what she might want to do.
I feel like a third wheel on a date. Okay.
Well, first of all, in Wisconsin, you don't register as a political party. Mm-hmm. So there is no real party information that's available. There's trends, and you can see, you know, this person, for example, subscribes to NRA magazines or is an NRA member, but you don't know someone's political party in the state of Wisconsin. So that's something that could be thrown out. I mean, specifically in the state of Wisconsin, because I mean, Illinois, I believe you have other states you have to register as to vote, and with a party affiliation, but not Wisconsin. So, and the party affiliation is also in Wisconsin is hard to judge based on that. And also, how do you draw a map when you don't know, or when you have someone that is an independent in the household? Do you throw them in the blue category, or do you throw them in the red, or do you stick them in the purple? Or what happens if you would look at, and I haven't looked at these maps, but I'm sure they're very different. If you look at the 2014 gubernatorial election versus the 2016 presidential election, those maps changed, you know, the colors, blue and red. How do you lump those people that are in those homes that changed colors, that did vote Democrat for governor but then voted for Trump for president? How do you lump those people? I know people that that absolutely love Paul Ryan but can't stand Ron Johnson and Scott Walker. How do you lump that person? So that, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, that's very tough. There is no formula for that, and you can't go by party affiliation because you don't actually register to vote by party affiliation. So the first thing I would do is definitely pull that out.
To back up Supervisor Decker's point, I'll go back to between 12 and 16, 30 counties flip color between those two elections.
And do, how many flipped for the 30, wait, between what, 14 and 16?
12 and 16.
12 and 16, okay. So how do you judge those counties now? Do you judge them by 16 or do you judge them by 12? It's all really a guessing game in the state of Wisconsin.
Are you looking at taking out most of that paragraph, or?
I would think so. I mean, if that goes, then technically you prohibit the consideration of voting patterns.
Yep.
Would have to go too.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are attached.
What exactly paragraph? Where are we here?
The first, be it further resolved.
Page 2, fourth paragraph.
And when you're talking about demographic information, exactly what demographic information are you talking about?
It would be, I don't have the whole document, unfortunately.
Do you have that copy of the...
Yeah, I just have
the page.
I have a delineation from transparency to in on the board.
Oh, okay. I'll look at this. Thanks.
No, I would take out consideration of voting patterns, party. We didn't discuss the Cummins resident information. We didn't talk about pulling that out. Or what's demographic information? What does that mean in this resolution, Supervisor Blau?
Probably gender, age.
Well, you have to watch ethnic, ethnicity because of the counts. You can't redistrict, so you have an underrepresented minority population on purpose if they actually do represent. And so, if you're pulling out demographic information, that would mean we can't look at racial.
Yeah, this resolution, I mean, this isn't meant to start dissecting exactly what we're going to leave in, what we're going to put in, So, for anyone to ask me exactly what do you mean by this, I can't really speak to that, because, this is essentially about voter fairness. Once we do have a decision made, then it's up to the states to figure out exactly how they want to draw these maps. This resolution doesn't cover that. We're just basically saying by this resolution that we are supporting the Western Court's decision to get these maps redrawn. Once that is figured out, then we can figure out the demographic, population, etc. That's my interpretation of what you're asking. I'm not sure, why we're getting down to this very granular level of how we're going to figure this out. But that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you don't have passively redraw maps. You have to base that on some facts to guide you for the redrawing. That's why it's granular, and that's why it's relevant.
Supervisor Franklin and Supervisor Hall.
The team of lawyers that were arguing against this issue was, it wasn't basing it on who's a Republican and who's a Democrat, but they were using factors that come into play that typically describe people in both camps. So, for instance, you can't pack or crack certain demographic characteristics of certain voters and put them all in one spot so as to result in what are called overvotes, or spread them out so diffusely that they don't have an impact one way or the other. In fact, those are the terms that were used by the legal team that came up with the criteria that the Supreme Court is going to hear. We can get really into the weeds on this, on how this is done. I'm no expert, but I do know, I listened through the lead attorney from the University of Chicago. I'd be more than happy to give you the information. I probably have it somewhere. where he went into great detail how packing and cracking is done using benign demographic characteristics. You know, people say, well, we don't know who's a Republican or a Democrat. Not necessarily true. You don't have to say I'm a Republican or a Democrat to know that someone might lean. I mean, you can know through voter patterns that someone's conservative or liberal, or who they voted for in past elections. May not say you're a Democrat or Republican, but you can find out this information pretty easily. We have very sophisticated ways of doing it, and therefore you can very easily say, draw lines. Well, here's the thing. According to the criteria, if you want to get into the weeds, it's called the efficiency gap. It's about a 7%. And here's the thing. Gerrymandering is not illegal. It's not a question of whether gerrymandering is illegal. It's whether the extent of gerrymandering is so extreme that the other party can't compete. And the issue here is, with the efficiency gap of about 7%, that's, if you have a 7% efficiency gap, one party, they're going to win pretty easily. The one in Wisconsin was almost twice that. So technically, in 2012 and 2014, Democrats won, but they lost seats in terms of amount of voters. And the court ruled that the efficiency gap was so extreme that Democrats are going to have a hard time winning, period. And this would be bad if it was the other way around, too. When you talk about it, it becomes a partisan issue, but it shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is an issue of due process, fairness, and equity. And yes, the courts, ultimately Supreme Court, I imagine, will make a decision. But, you know, we could dissect every little thing and then say, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? All I know is that according to the experts, I'll be more than happy to give you the name of the lawyer who is the lead lawyer from the University of Chicago who proved it to the appeals court and said, yep, this is extreme gerrymandering, the type of gerrymandering that results in a very questionable idea or whether due process is actually going to be upheld and the question of constitutionality comes out. And that's really the bottom line here. As I see it. So I'm still ready to vote for this now. I think, like I said, we can put the microscope on this, but the overall argument is pretty clear. Extreme gerrymandering, in my humble opinion, I'm not a lawyer, should be unconstitutional. And frankly, you wouldn't have it as to the degree if you had ultimately, as Supervisor Hallman suggested, you know, like a bipartisan commission. I'm all for that. I think that's a great idea. Iowa, someone mentioned, Iowa has a bipartisan commission. There are probably other ways of dealing with this.
There's actually computer programs out now, but I don't know any politicians who would agree to that, but they are out there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is committee, so we put the microscope on everything, and if one does not come with their scalpel ready, that is a problem. I'm a classically trained musician, so we're taught to dot every I and cross every T before we step onto stage and make sure your bow tie is tied. I might suggest amending this. In that particular, be it further resolved, the first one, I would propose to strike, after transparency, remove, and that it prohibit the consideration of voting patterns, party information, and incumbents' resident information or demographic information. I would remove that chunk.
So you wanted to say, let me make sure, that the County Board of Supervisors calls for the process of drawing new maps to promote more accountability and transparency, except as necessary to ensure minority participation as required in the U.S. Constitution, and is that correct? Because that doesn't exactly...
For now. For now. Yeah, I read it in my head, too, and thought about it.
And that's why I read it out loud.
Yeah. For now. We'll just deal with just that chunk.
Is there a second? Okay.
Now, I'll second. If it's going to lead to a vote, let's vote on it. I'll second it.
Are you sure? Because there will be more.
You have more?
I said I brought my scalpel.
Well, what's more?
We can only deal with one
at a time.
Yep. I would just like to say that lawyers are not experts. They invent things to win in court. They're not experts. I defer to corporation counsel. Yeah.
Depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Any discussion on the amendment?
I don't know if taking out the incumbent's resident information is necessary to remove, because, I mean, we're looking at accountability and transparency. And I understand people might feel that we're going after certain people, but I don't look at it in that terms. I look at it as there's us, but then there's other districts larger than us and whatnot that might be built to keep them in that district. I'm not saying whatever person that is, but if you keep that accountability and transparency and just, I don't know, again, I bring up the north, south, east, west lines. I mean, that makes it as fair as can be, doesn't it? And expand the boxes. And with that, change it absolutely could change.
Let me retract that second. I'm not comfortable with it.
Okay. Is there one more time? Is there a second? Motion dies due to lack of second. So we're back on the original document for discussion. Supervisor Allen.
I just want to point out to folks around the table, like Supervisor Decker, I too have gone through a county board redistricting process where we did talk about cracking, packing, and sat with, at the time it was Frank Volpentesta, who was our corporation counsel, and he sent us articles and we walked through stuff too. That being said, you can go back and check the history. I'm the only person who intentionally redistricted himself with an opponent.
No, you're incorrect on that.
Are you sure?
Yes, you are. Yes, I am. There were five, because we reduced the board from 28, which was an even number because of population. We had to add one. We reduced from 28 to 23, which means five supervisors would have been redistricted together. It was yourself and Supervisor Grulich, which said he was not going to run again. Supervisor...
Which came out later. That wasn't a front. That came out later. We did not know that.
His attendance at meetings, we knew he was not coming back.
I didn't know that.
Supervisors Clark and Eckernis were redistricted together, except both of them decided not to run, but one of them did not declare that he was not running till later on. And then actually myself and Mr. Haas were redistricted together, but Mr. Haas did not run again also.
And that's why I said, because I know there were several who had made the decision to, in a sense, retire prior to that. I wasn't in that situation. But I'm also the only person, presumably, maybe, arguably at this point, who's actually tried to run for state assembly for partisan office. So I've seen trying to ascertain the various voting trends about who votes where and why. Language-wise, that's why I suggested removing some of that. I don't know. Do with it what you want.
I make a motion to call a vote.
Okay, that is in order.
I have my
that's right. She did. My apologies.
I just want to comment on Supervisor Berg about boxes. And boxes would be great. You just have to make them smaller based on population. The problem is with boxes is you can't get the minority representation. You might cut that and be unconstitutional. And then also the Supreme Court also ruled that you can't you have to group like communities together. So if you drew boxes, you might slice like communities together or apart, which would actually be unconstitutional. So these court rulings that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in the past almost mandates some sort of gerrymandering to keep their ideas of constitution, or you know, their rulings on constitutionality correct, you know, in place, that we are not
against, or, you know, going against the constitutionality rulings that they had. I just wanted to, you know,
I mean,
it's very hard because you do want compact. And then also another ruling is that they have to be compact and contiguous. Well, what does compact mean? Look at Supervisor Skalitsky. He's got the Siberia of supervisor districts out there that probably are almost as big as all of ours combined. And that's because his population is so small. So, but that's a compact district based on his population out there. So,
we have a motion on the floor that's non-debatable. All in favor of calling a vote? We'll start off with Youth and Governance.
You want to explain to them what that is?
Yeah, explain.
Thank you, John. Why don't you?
We can call a vote, and we're gonna vote now on the issue at hand.
Okay, so we're voting. So. Am I voting to vote or voting?
You're voting on the resolution.
Nope.
You're voting to end debate.
Voting to end debate. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in other words, we're going to stop debate and then ultimately come to a vote.
Okay.
Wow. This is a very much Robert's rules.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah, all in one session. It's good.
Okay. Don't ask the parliamentarian. It's fine.
Yeah. Isabella Ricker?
Yes.
Abriana Madke?
Yes.
Am I saying that correct?
Madke.
Madke, okay. David Hallman?
Aye.
Andy Berg?
Aye.
Aaron Decker?
Nope.
John Franco?
Yes, aye.
John Poole?
No.
Michael Skalitsky?
No.
Boyd Frederick?
Yes.
4-3. Discussion ends.
Okay. We now bring the full resolution to a vote. We'll start off with Youth and Governance.
Isabella Ricker?
Aye.
Abriana Madke?
Yes.
David Hallman?
Aye.
Andy Berg?
Yes.
Aaron Decker?
No.
John Franco?
Aye.
John Poole?
No.
Michael Skalitsky?
No.
Boyd Frederick.
Aye.
4-3. Motion passes.
Motion carries. The next thing on the agenda.
Thank you.
Any other matters you brought before the committee? Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Yeah.
All in favor?
Say an aye.
Aye. There we go. Okay.
All right. The yigs didn't work.
Okay.